Well, the title of this message tonight is Success Does Not Justify Us. Success does not justify us. You know, when we have success, we tend to think, oh yeah, I'm a good fellow. It's easy for us to take that attitude when success comes our way. And people can jump on the bandwagon and, you know, clap the successful achiever. And that person can easily then begin to think, I'm not a bad fellow after all. How dangerous this is in the Christian life. You know, Lamb beautifully brought to us the two messages the last couple of Sunday nights. The weak become strong. How? By God's grace, by His goodness, the weak become strong. As they depend on God, God comes into action and He does wonderful things for the weak. And then the strong become weak. Why? Because they have stopped relying on God. So success doesn't justify us, it justifies God, who is always right in what He says. And here we have a story tonight of David after he has, what has he done in chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14 and 15 and 16? David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he came from Hebron, and more sons and daughters were born to David, and names of them went on the name Jerusalem, Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon. Success! Is it? Or is this going to pave the way for a calamitous fall into a heinous sin that is going to destroy his family? We have to be really careful. You see, David has disobeyed God here. He has allowed the lusts of the flesh, which later on in a few chapters' time, we're going to see one of the most famous falls into serious sinful activity of the flesh in the life of David. But where did it start? It didn't just start with looking at Bathsheba. It starts right here. Right here, after success has come David's way. After God has raised him into a position of power and influence, he disobeys God. He leaves a crack in his armor, which later on is going to come down with a mighty crash. He's going to be guilty of adultery and of murder. And it started just here. But David seems to be going fine. What do we read tonight? When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. So his enemies were heading for him. And David heard of it. He went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. David humbled himself here. David recognized he needed God's help. David looked for God's guidance. And God gave him guidance, showed him exactly what to do, and David has success. The Philistines are defeated. And again, the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of the Lord. Again, he depended on God. And he had success. must be going really well. Must be doing really well, David. Is he? Is there a crack somewhere? We can have this happen in our own lives. We can depend on God and God can bless us. But if we have disobeyed God, if we have allowed his commandments to be broken and there's no repentance over this, we are leaving a door wide open for calamitous trouble to come. And this happens in the lives of Christians. If we leave the door open for the enemy and we don't close the door, there is potential disaster lying ahead on our road. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to have success, not just in victories over the Philistines, but in our personal holiness, in our personal life of integrity before God. He wants us to have success. But where does the success come from? Are there areas in your life where you are not relying on God? You may be relying on him for your battles, but what about your personal purity? What about your areas of separation unto him? You see, the Apostle Paul beautifully describes how the Christian life should be lived, and we had it read by Jim tonight. In chapter 3 to the Philippians, he says, finally, brothers, it's like he's making a final statement about how to live the Christian life. And then he goes on to say, look out for the dogs. Look out for those who twist the truth. Put no confidence in the flesh, he says. Now, we're living our lives, every one of us today, in the flesh. If we're born of the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, but he lives in a earthen vessel, which is fleshly, which is vulnerable, which can rely on its own strength, its own abilities, in areas of our lives. But Paul says, put no confidence in the flesh, in any area of your life. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more, he says. He recounts all the fine qualities that he has. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is his aim, to know Christ, to know Jesus. Paul is a Pharisee of the Pharisees who learnt the word of God accurately and yet would hear from Jesus that Jesus came to fulfill all the righteousness in the law. If I can know Jesus Christ, if I can, like David, inquire of the Lord about everything. And David did in the passage we had tonight. He inquired of the Lord. And he had success. And the success justifies who? Not David. It justifies God. God told David what to do. And as a result of his obedience, there was success. Paul says this, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this, for his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things. Count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Not thinking I am successful. No, I'm a total failure. It's good to be a total failure. All the successes belong to who? I didn't really want to go to Newcastle, I have to confess. Hope, Laurie, forgive me. The flesh was crying out, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. God said, you do this. And when I did what he's told me to do, oh my, God had the success. This is the same in all of our lives. As we obey God, Paul wants to know Christ, may gain Christ and be found in him, having no righteousness of my own, but that which is from Christ through faith in him, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And then he says this amazing thing. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the one who wrote all these letters that we read. The Word of God has been declared to be pure and holy. He says, not that I have already obtained. What happened to David when he rose up in power at Jerusalem? He thought he'd got there. And he made decisions of his own. Oh, I'll take a few concubines and wives. He thought he had obtained. That can happen to all of us. Paul tells us, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. There is more obedience to God to be found. There is more faithfulness to be found. I press on to make it my own. There is more correction to take place in our lives. There is more repentance to happen. When we get to 90, that's true, isn't it, Neville? There's more repentance to take place as we press on to know Christ. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I belong to him. And he is going to correct me all the way to heaven. He will correct me and refine me and purify my heart. And Paul says, I haven't already obtained, or I'm not already perfect, but I'm pressing on. If only David had corrected the error of taking wives, had repented of this, at this point, Bathsheba and the sin would never have occurred. And in our own lives, this is true. We leave doors open by failing to see. God will show us where we need to repent of things. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. The mature Christian is the one who realizes God is at work in their life to sanctify them, to make them more like Jesus every day of their lives. We are being renewed day after day to be in the image of Christ himself, to bear his image. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. If God is at work in your life, he has already been correcting you. He's already been showing you things that are not consistent with his will. He's already leading you in repentance to be transformed by his Spirit, to love like you could never love before, to love enemies, to love people who hate you, to be released by his Spirit to be more like Christ every day of your life. And when he gives you success, be careful. The success does not justify you. It justifies God. He is worthy of our praise and thanksgiving for every success. But we need to be mindful that he wants to purify our hearts, that he's preparing us for what lies ahead. And what lies ahead? What are you looking forward to? What do you value above everything else? It's a good question to ask. Maybe this is something you need to correct. What is the most important thing to you? If it truly is the home that he is preparing for you in the heavenly places, then you will be able to loose yourself from all the things of this world. And he will continue to sanctify us by his Spirit as this desire is in our heart, as it was in the heart of Paul. But we need to remember, when we have successes, it's God who brings the success because of obedience to him. And he wants us to remember that when we are disobedient to him, as David has done here in 13 to 16, unless we repent, we will likewise suffer the consequences. And that's going to happen in chapter 11. While David seems to be having wonderful success, there is a great hole he has made in his life which is open to disaster because he's disobeying God. Amen.